in Vancouver. I am Planta on the line, and this is thecommentary.ca. There's a new book out that's gotten attention already and some great notices. It is called Sofia Tolstoy, A Biography. It's the first biography of the wife of Leo Tolstoy, one that sets out to debunk a lot of the misinformation that's been out there about Mrs. Tolstoy. She's been portrayed in history, in books, in films on Leo Tolstoy as a saboteur to his work, shrill and tormentor to him and those around them. What the author Alexandra Popov has done in this book is tell us more about her, that she's a lot less harsh than she's been portrayed as, and that she was a dedicated wife and a talented editor and writer in her own right. Alexandra Popov joins me now, a native of Moscow. She is a journalist and writer, having appeared in various Russian publications and in the Philadelphia Inquirer. She was an Alfred Friendly Press Fellow, and she now lives in Saskatoon, where she joins me from this morning. The website for more is sofiatolstoy.com. The book is published by Free Press, an imprint of Simon & Schuster. Please welcome to the Plant on the Land program, Alexandra Popov. Good morning, Ms. Popov.
Good morning, Joseph.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, I must admit that I haven't read any Tolstoy, nor have I seen The Last Station. But when I started the book, I was quite taken aback by her story, and the whole misinformation about her. What was the view of Sofia Tolstoy before you started writing this book?
Well, maybe some of our listeners did watch The Last Station, and this is the film with Helen Mirren and Christopher Plummer.
Right.
And this film, I think, gives pretty much the popular perception of Sofia Tolstoy. And in this film, Sofia is portrayed as an aristocrat, as a nagging wife, and as a mercenary. So those are just a few negative things about her. And besides, this film is tells the story about Tolstoy's final year, because this year we have the centennial of Tolstoy's flight and death. So the puzzling and controversial events of Tolstoy's final year are the focus of the film, as they have been the focus of many biographers. And at the focus of my book is Sofia's life, her personal story, and the marriage that is 48 years long, that lasted 48 years, and Sofia's achievement and her contribution to Tolstoy. So that's the difference.
And were you surprised by what you found out about Sofia?
Yes. I taught many classes at the University of Saskatchewan, and my interest in Russian literature and in Tolstoy is lifelong. So I was also trying to understand the events of Tolstoy's final year as I was teaching these classes, and I was telling my students about Tolstoy's secret will and his life. I was trying to understand all these events for myself, and that led me to do more research, and that's how I discovered that, I discovered in 2002 that Sofia Tolstoy's memoir, the memoir by Tolstoy's wife, is still unpublished. So I became determined to read this memoir, and it wasn't very simple. When I received access to work with Sofia Tolstoy's file, then I discovered that there is so much to learn. And I began reading the couple's correspondence, which also was overlooked by biographers. So my book is based on the sources that were not previously published and were inaccessible to biographers.
Now, who would be responsible for the negative portrayal, as well as her writing not being published? Can we all blame that on Vladimir Chertkov?
Well, Chertkov was an amazing character, and because this man became close to Tolstoy, not only his chief disciple, but Tolstoy trusted all his public relations to this man. At the end of Tolstoy's life, Chirkov persuaded him to write a secret will and make him, Chirkov, the sole executor of his will. So Tolstoy's archive and later Soviet papers were in the hands of Chirkov and other and his associates. So we cannot blame it all on one man, but he was at the center of this. Of this cover-up.
Now, when he was around Tolstoy, when Chirkov was around Tolstoy, where was Mrs. Tolstoy? Did they not get along?
Well, you see, my book tells the story of Chirkov's intrusion into the marriage. And this story is not the story that you may read in other biographies, because I was able to access the materials that were not previously published. So, and in order to be objective, I did research for 5 years, and, you know, it took me 6 years to research and write the book. So you're asking where Soviet Tolstoy was. This marriage is known to begin to have complications with Chirkov's intrusion, but Chirkov met Tolstoy in 1883. That is, this relationship was almost lasted for almost 30 years. And the relationship became complicated, particularly during the final year, 1910, the final year of Tolstoy's life. That's when became the focus. When the public began to actually know of Chirkov's existence.
And so Tolstoy had this change in his beliefs, right, late in his life?
Yes.
And Chirkov was responsible for that, was he?
No, Chirkov was not responsible for that. Tolstoy's spiritual crisis took place after he completed Anna Karenina, his second great novel. And that's when Tolstoy became deeply interested in religion. And Tolstoy Tolstoy wanted to have a religious following. And by the time he met Chirkov, he still did not have a strong follower. And Chirkov became his first strong follower. So that's how the relationship began. But at the end of this relationship, by the end of Tolstoy's life, Chirkov, as a very ambitious man, wanted to establish himself as the person closest to Tolstoy. And that's when he began to scheme against Sofia.
Now, let's go back to Sofia's upbringing. Yes. And her life. How unique was she to other women in Russia at the time? She was educated, right?
She was well educated, and she grew up in a family quite unique family. Her father was Lutheran, and he was a court physician, and Sofia received a middle class upbringing. And the kind of upbringing that was not even typical in Russia for the middle class. Like, she could handle anything. She could handle a lot of physical work. She was given chores in childhood, and was not typical for girls of her class. She knew several, five European languages. She had a lifelong interest in music. She had a great interest in art and literature, and she was a good writer later in life. She received home education, but she was only 18 when she married Tolstoy, and she learned a lot through Tolstoy's work, which she was copying. She, as you may know, copied War and Peace several times, and so with Anna Karenina. So she continued to receive her education through Tolstoy's work, in which she was closely involved.
Now, they had 13 children, right?
Yes.
Was she a good mother?
She was an exceptional mother, and the reason I'm saying it is that I read so much of her correspondence. I read some 15, researched some 1,500 letters of Tolstoy's, her exchange with Tolstoy, but I also read some other unpublished correspondence. She herself nursed and educated the children at home, which was not, again, typical for women of her class. And she was very closely involved in their bringing, despite the fact that she was helping Tolstoy, and she was running all business affairs. And when Tolstoy renounced his property and title and money, that's later in life, after his spiritual crisis, she had to handle all the responsibilities in the family. So she herself had to not only raise the children, but she had to support them all financially. And she became a publisher. She became a very good publisher. And she produced some 8 editions of Tolstoy's complete collected work. And with that, she handled all stages of a process herself. I was very impressed with her achievement as a publisher.
Yeah. What's this business about her trying to murder Tolstoy? In your research, did you find out if that was true or not?
Where did you hear that?
Well, we've read that. I mean, that what's that quote that you have in the book that she says?
She was even accused in trying to murder Tolstoy.
Yeah.
Well, yes, that comes from Chirkov. Chirkov accused her in trying to murder her husband, which is as untrue as many things Chirkov has spoken about her.
Well, what did she say in response to that? I love that quote. That it took her a long time to do it.
Yes.
Because he lived to 82.
That it took her 48 years to try. Yeah.
When you're reading her work, when you're reading her research, her correspondence, when you're reading her memoir,
yes.
How do you test the veracity of her work, her truthfulness, if you were?
Yes. Well, first of all, her memoir is a colossal work. It remained unedited. So there are over 1,000 pages in it. And the way I began to work with it, well, first of all, I was allowed to take extensive notes. So I have hundreds of pages of notes. But I was verifying these facts through, first of all, through Tolstoy's correspondence with Sofia, and through other available materials, also correspondence mostly. Her correspondence with her sister and with other people. And I discovered also a lot of material that remained unpublished, letters from other people who wrote about Sofia. And so I was able, because I worked a long time on this book, I was able to verify the facts. I was able to verify, for example, the fact of her involvement in Tolstoy's causes, which hasn't been written about, and her work with Tolstoy and the famine, that part surprised me, and I was very impressed with how Sofia assisted Tolstoy during the famine of 1890s, when, by the way, Tolstoy's disciple, Chirkov, did not participate at all in this great cause of Tolstoy. So
now,
I was able to verify a lot of that.
Yeah. Were you able to see whether she resented having to take a back seat to Tolstoy? Because she was talented in her own right.
Yeah.
Did she resent that?
That she lived with a great man?
Yeah.
It was not her resentment, but when she was past middle age, in her late 50s, she felt that there was, there were a lot of things that she wanted to try and that she wanted to do herself. She had a great interest in art, so she herself studied painting. She painted just by studying herself. She painted in oil. She copied all of Tolstoy's portraits in the house, and she did a good job. She felt that she had a great deal of talent, but she didn't have an opportunity to invest herself in writing. And so she took this opportunity late in life when her children were grown up, and she wrote novellas. She wrote this memoir, and it was not the resentment, but her need to explore her talent. And she was saying, well, why should a worthless, that people say that, why should a worthless woman like me need to do all these things? Well, because perennially serving the great talent, perennially serving the genius, she said, is a great misfortune. She wanted to leave an achievement of her own, and she did.
Do you ever wonder, had she lived today or in any other time, what she would have amounted to?
Well, you know, I cannot speculate about that, but I wanted to tell her story, and I wanted to give, it's not only the story of a Tolstoy that I wanted to tell, but I was so impressed with her character, with her ability to handle hard work, with her ability to handle problems, pressure, that I wanted to tell her story so it would inspire women and how hard she had to work to achieve those things. So, in my view, the reason I wanted to tell the story is that, in my view, she's a great example.
And she's very relevant to today, isn't she?
Yes, I think she is a contemporary woman. You may think of her as a contemporary woman who could handle the children's upbringing and the pressure of deadlines. She never missed a single deadline as a publisher. She was also Tolstoy's translator, for example. She was his biographer. She recorded all his pronouncements. I mean, to mention things that she did over her lifetime, she had an amazingly productive life.
How do Russians view her today?
Many people view her negatively. And, you know, you cannot just change people's perception in one day. A lot of people believe in the stories told in many memoirs. And Chirkov was not alone to write a very damaging book. There were other disciples, and there were also Tolstoy's daughters who admired Tolstoy as a religious figure and believed that Sofia violated Tolstoy's religious principles, even as a publisher. Because, you know, if you view her achievement through the prism of Tolstoy's religious beliefs, you may only see this negative side, that, you know, she was not supposed to make money while Tolstoy renounced money. You see how this comes in conflict. But the life itself came in conflict with Tolstoy's religious beliefs. In fact, his ideas were impracticable, and that's what my book also tells.
I read somewhere else that you're working on another book now.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, is it on Chirkov?
Yes, it is about Tolstoy's relationship with Chirkov.
I mean, with this book, you've made me quite interested in all of this. Alexandra, it's a fascinating life and a highly readable book. Congratulations on it and continued good luck.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. The website for more is sofiatolstoy.com. The book is called Sofia Tolstoy, A Biography. It's published by Free Press, which is an imprint of Simon & Schuster. In Saskatoon, its author, Alexandra Popov, on the line. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.